The song Happy, Happy, Happy. I will sing another chorus of that, but I think y'all got the gist of it. Anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and it's a great day. It's a great day. Beautiful day outside. Nice and warm, and we just having fun. And y'all know what? It's all good. It's all good in the neighborhood. Now, if you want to be a participant on the show today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Or you can even join us in the chat room. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you can get in, participate. We have banging conversations in the chat room, as well as great conversation and fun here on live on the air. So don't frip, don't be hesitant. Just get on the phone or come in the chat room and let's have some fun today. It's Friday. That's right. It's Freedom Friday. And y'all know it ain't nothing but I like Freedom Friday. All right. Now, y'all know before everything, I go ahead and I go ahead and get my little rant or comment in before we go any further. And I got one for you today. Now, I understand that this is, quote unquote, Valentine's Day. All right, it's Valentine's Day. And this is supposed to be a day where you show love to your other half or your better half, or your partner, your wife, your girlfriend, your mistress, whatever you got, right? So let's talk about this. So you go out. Right. Hopefully it falls somewhere close to payday if you're not one of the ones that went and got it beforehand. You go out and spend all this money on some roses that's going to die, okay, on some jewelry that may get worn once or twice, right? and then after that, it's over with. Oh, don't forget, you go and stand in line for 2 and 3 hours to get in this top-rated restaurant just to eat a meal, and it's going to cost you about $150 to eat. Now, let's look at this thing in a realistically logical manner. Okay. Why? Why do we do this? Why? Valentine's Day should be every day. And don't give me that mess about, well, it's just a day set aside so you can specially show it. You should be showing it specially every day. Every day. Valentine's Day is set up for you to spend your money unnecessarily. Unnecessarily. Look, and you know, ladies, y'all kind of bad at this because y'all want the roses and the diamonds and all that. Well, here's my thing I'm looking at. You should be happy every day if you got a roof over your head. You should be happy if you have food to eat. You should be happy if You have clothes on your back. You should be happy because you're not ill. That's Valentine's Day 12 months out of the year. Why do we continue to be hoodwinked and swallowed up by this so-called tradition of Valentine's Day that just doesn't mean a thing? Nothing. Now, I'm going to tell you, y'all know I do this every year because that's how I feel about Valentine's Day. I despise it. I went somewhere today, and there was a place called Edible Flowers or something like that. But, man, the line was all the way around the door. Edible Arrangements, that's what it was. And the line was all the way around the building. I was like, wow. Do you know how much of a commercial success this thing is? It's not about the one people you love. It's not about any of that. It's about commerce, money. They give you all this great stuff so they can make money. And, of course, we fall right into it because that's what we've been told, that the day is the special day where you show that special someone how much you love them. Well, here's a newsflash, people. You should be doing that every day. Every day. That's all I'm saying. I know y'all think I'm kind of wacky and crazy for saying that, but you know, some things I just have to get off my chest, and that was one of them. It really was, because I just don't see the logic is going out spending all that money on one day. Because that money you spend now, later on this month, you're going to need it to get some groceries when your cupboard start running low or put some gas in your vehicle. But, of course, we don't think about that. So, ladies, stop putting that so much pressure on the men to do these type of things. You know, if he's faithful to you, if he tells you he loves you on a daily basis, you know, if he helps you in any kind of way, that is your Valentine's Day. You know, please stop putting pressure on the men to go out there and spend this unnecessary money that most of them don't have to spend anyway. You know, but to keep peace in the house, they go ahead and do it. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right, I'm through now. I'm through. I'm gonna leave it alone. All right, so that's what we. That was my opening rant. Or statement, or however you want to comment, however you want to take it. Now, let me bring somebody else in who has a lot of statements, a lot of knowledge, and she's just a beautiful person all around. Let me bring her in, my beautiful co-host, Sister Ngoni. Ow. Hello, Sister Ngoni. How are you doing?
Hey, Eric. I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing wonderful.
That's good. Did you get my PM?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I was already aware of that.
All righty then. Well, I heard your rant, and I think you can even tie that into Black History Month. Because, see, our ancestors, they had better sense. They already knew. They didn't fall for that stuff. They could take that money and get some extra green beans or some sack of potatoes or something, right?
Right. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, when I went and saw that line, I'm like, wow. You know, it's not about just showing somebody. It's all about making money. And once again, we've fallen into that, unquote, tradition that this is what we have to do on February the 14th. Why?
Well, it's the same with most of the holidays. They all revolve around capitalism. And we are assimilados, okay? Let's just face it.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Right.
So that's what it is.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. All right. I just had to get it out there. You know, and I do it every every Valentine's Day, because last year I actually gave what the true purpose of Valentine was, how it got started and everything. But I seem to have lost that information. But
being a
years ago,
some soldier that cut off somebody's head or something, or heart, and his wife, and sent it to his wife or something like that. Is that what you're talking about? I know that's gross, people. I'm so sorry, but that was the history. I didn't do it.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna have to check it out. Hey, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have to check it out. All right, those are my favorite followers and devoted followers. If y'all know what the definite why Valentine's Day got started or how it got started, hey, let us know. Shoot us a message and let us know so we can read it for everybody. All right? Now, with that being said, all right. Oh, Lord have mercy. So how's the weather where you are, Sister Ngoni?
Absolutely fabulous.
No, not the fabulous.
Glorious.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's beautiful today.
Great, great. I can actually say it's beautiful where I am also, so I cannot complain.
Wonderful.
I know. I can walk around with a T-shirt on. Yay, me.
Yes. Well, you know, this is February, so probably we don't have too much more time, you know, before it'll all pass over, and a little bit longer in the north. But, you know, it won't be long now for most of us, right?
Yeah, right, right. You know, you're right, because February usually the coldest month here in Texas, so in my part of Texas anyway.
Well, you know, the sun stopped in December 25th for 3 days, and then it started its journey back towards the other direction, and so we're going to have that new spring coming to us soon.
All righty then. Sounds good. All right, are we ready for the music today? You ready for some music, Sister Ngoni?
I'm ready.
All right, y'all, we got your music mix coming up, and I want y'all to know it's pretty good. I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And I hope y'all got some dancing shoes on and you know, you got some space, because I know some of y'all going to want to get up and do a couple of steps here in a few minutes. So, and I'm telling you, going to get ready, because here come your Friday music mix. All right, y'all. That was, I'm telling you, that was your Friday music mix. And, yes, I had to hype it up. So, yeah, a lot of y'all got a three-day weekend coming up. Yeah. Yeah, boy, I tell you, party, party, party. You get your blood flowing. Yeah. You can't beat that, can you? Ooh, man. But let me ask y'all a question, though. Did anybody really listen to the words of the last song, Push the Button? Did you really listen to the words of that song? Because that song, if you go back and just listen to the words, get out of the beat, because the beat, you get caught up in the beat, but get out of the beat. And actually, it's a rant about letting computers take control. Huh, you didn't know that, did you? Little facts that you should pay attention to. And it says that in the song throughout. At one point it says, God is mad because we let computers take control. So, yeah, y'all better pay attention to some of these songs you be dancing to, because, yeah, it's out there. It is out there. I'm just telling you. All right. Anyway, your Black History fact. All right. And here we go. Here we go. Jazz, an African-American musical form born out of the blues, ragtime, and marching bands, originated in Louisiana during the turn of the 19th century. The word jazz is a slang term that at one point referred to a sexual act. Now, that's your Black History fact. So, y'all, so for those that didn't know what jazz stood for, there you go. At one time, it stood for a sexual act down in Louisiana. So that's your Black History fact. All right, man, I'm telling you, I am feeling wonderful today. Before we get to the quote of the day, let me give my shout-outs out. We got Bible Truth by Benny. We got Chef Rob. We got Corn Dog in the house. East Coast. And then we got Enjoying Life. We got Guest 1255. Guest 1298. We got Open Mic. And, of course, we have the dependable Yolanda Blocker. So, you know what I mean? Welcome to the show. And then we got 7033 and 8325 on the switchboard. Welcome to y'all, and hope you enjoy the show. So now that we have everybody that we need to have for right now, it's all good. It is all good. All right, y'all. Don't forget this Freedom Friday. So you determine the topic and what we're going to say, and how long we're going to say it. So if you want to be a participant, give us a call, 347-838-8622. Okay? Yeah, that's all good. All right. Whew. Co-host, where you at? All right, you there?
I'm just sitting here contemplating the information you just gave about Black History Month. No wonder I love jazz so much.
I'm not even going there with you right now. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I know somebody
Oh, no, Eric.
Now, I know somebody out there trying to figure out what was the sexual act that the name jazz. See, I told you, Chef Rob, I want to know what that sexual act is, jazz. Well, you're going to have to do some research, Rob. You let us know. Wow. Oh, man, I tell you, they just make you laugh some days. But all right. Sister Ngoni, what's going on? What you got for me? Hey, what you think about the music first?
Well, I was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I couldn't be still, and I was thinking about what you told me about the subliminal message in there about mm-hmm. God being because we let computers take over. Just keep right. in mind, we are programmable, but we can reprogram ourselves.
Mm-hmm. That's See? Right. That's so true, so true. And you know what? And like I said, you know, I was doing the music last night and re-listening to it after I did it and I recorded it, you know, and got it ready. I usually go back and listen to it to do a little editing. And when I heard that verse right there, I was like, wow, all these years listening to this song, I never really paid attention to the words. And it was just amazing. You know, it's like a light bulb just went off in my head, like, whoop, now there is light. You know, so we need to listen to more to the words of the song, because it's interesting, that's for sure. All right. Go ahead, Sister Angel. Now, I know. Yes, ma'am.
That's why music is universal, because, and it's, you know, such a wonderful art. I mean, you just made me think about the words that were in the songs with Earth, Wind, and Fire and Fifth Dimension. You know, musicians are always ahead of their time. They're always sending us messages we don't pay attention to.
You know, that's a true point. That's very true. Well, you know, we are, you know, it's a shame, but it's not so bad. We are always caught up in the beat. You know, if you got a nice beat, a lot of times that's how the words get by you, unless it's something like a love song or something silly, you know. But when there's a true message, you get so caught up in the beat, sometimes you miss the message. And, you know, that's why we really need to start paying attention to the words. Any song that you're listening to, you know, there's a message somewhere, but we get caught up in the beat. And, yeah, that's my jam. You know, ask you what the words say. You don't know what the words say because you never listen to the words. I'm just adding my 2 cents to that. So,
well,
yeah.
That's the point. Hey.
Huh? Hey.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But if we don't get it in our conscious mind, it's sure recorded in the Akashic Records in the subconscious mind. So
yeah,
it'll be working on us.
That's true. That is so true. Well, hopefully, you know, somebody will go back and check that out and listen to some songs they got. But are we ready for our quote of the day? You ready for our quote
of
the day?
Yes, sir, we are.
We are? All right, let me go ahead and bring this drum loop in. All right, go for it, Sister Angoni. Ow.
Keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead.
Wow. Ooh, my goodness. Keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. Wow. Wow. You know, that's kind of deep right there. In other words, don't keep walking around with clouds over your head. You know, let some sunshine in, you know. Hey, but you know what? I don't see how individuals do that anyway. I really don't. I don't see how people do that. How do you walk around the whole time in a fog, you know, all gloomy and boomy? And I'm not understanding that. You know, there's sometimes you have to let something in, hopefully. That's the way I see it. But then again, you know, I may be on a trip by myself here. But that's why I always say, you know what a good thing is to bring sunshine into your life, no matter what's going on, how hurt you are, how upset you are, how you know, distraught you are? Laughter. You know, laughter. Because my theory is if you can laugh at yourself first, that I think that's the key. If you can laugh at yourself first, you won't have problems with laughing at anything else. No, Rob, not reefers.
Why not?
Why not, right? That'll help you laugh, right? But, you know, that's my take on it. You have to be able to laugh at yourself, because laughter, it just brings out, makes you feel good, you know? It brings those happy endorphins or whatever into you, and you forget about being mad. You know, that's what I say anyway. What are your take on that, there, co-host?
Well, now you know you don't want to get me started. We'll just let your take on it be enough for right now.
No, you are not getting out of it like that. Oh, no, 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 no. It's Freedom Friday. Let it ride. Come on. I got seven. Come on. Give me something. Come on. Let it ride.
Well, I think, like you said, laughter is a happy medicine, but you know, that to me, laughter and love is two different things.
Well, do expound on that explanation, ma'am.
Okay. Well, to me, love to keep love in your heart means to keep hope and to keep your ability to see beyond, you know, your daily trials and tribulations or challenges or, you know, whatever that you encounter in your daily life. You don't let it close your heart. That's what it means to me. Now, being happy and smiling helps with that. You know, but I don't smile when I'm not happy. If I don't, I express what I feel, you know. But whatever works, whatever works, I'm good with that. You know, everybody has a different approach to life.
Well, my point exactly. Now, it's a thing, though. You don't smile when you're not happy, right? Now, let's check this out. If you look at if you take a look at whatever made you mad, and you be like, even if you remember the face of somebody who made you mad, you know, something that just makes you start laughing, all of a sudden you realize you're not mad anymore. You know, you're just laughing because, oh, man, that was dumb, you know?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I wasn't talking about being mad. Okay.
Okay. No. I was just equating that to, you know, you being upset, you're not going to smile. That's just an example I used. Okay.
I wasn't talking about that. The way I deal with being upset is to do math problems in my head, okay, because that moves you from the right brain where your emotions are to the left brain, which reduces your emotional reaction to whatever it is. So if smiling works for you, that's a great thing. Everybody has their own approach to things based on who they are and what they need for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wonderful approach that you have. But, you know, I don't stay mad very long. The reason I don't is because I find, you know, myself, the older I get, is I try to be honest with myself about how I feel, and I try to express it. It's not always correct. You know, but then I try to let it go.
You try and let it go.
Yeah, I said try. Yeah. I ain't gonna sit up here and lie that I always let it go, okay?
See, that's it right there. You know what? That's it right there. That little laugh you did right there. And I'm sure you've been in an argument, and then once you got finished, you thought about it, and you did that little laugh right there.
Not always immediately. But after I can go and think about it, I can laugh at myself.
Right.
But
that's
not
what I'm
always.
Saying. But see, here's the thing. You're still able to laugh at yourself. And once you laugh at yourself, you look at that situation like it's really not that serious. Right?
Sometimes.
And then you start thinking on a more solvable level, I guess you can say. You know, more logical level, as in, okay, what caused this? And how can I keep from having it done again? You know,
that's true, you know, in your daily, like I said, your daily challenges and so forth. But to me, the quote has a meaning to me that goes beyond that, because, you know, I feel like keeping love in your heart is, you know, for me, it's more like having courage to face life. And to always keep your heart open regardless of how things appear or how things are. So, you know, my reflection on it was not so much dealing with, you know, misunderstandings or being mad about something. I try not to be a petty person. I'm not always successful, but, you know, I that's, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well. Okay, you know what, I still say you got to laugh, y'all. My co-host laughs a lot. Now, don't let her fool y'all. She gets her giggle on. Yes, she does. But yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But I still say, you know, the laughter is the best thing for the heart in a lot of instances. You know, just shake it off.
I think that's wonderful. And yes, I can be silly, y'all.
I can be silly, y'all. And no, Rob, we're not doing no reefers. Not on the air anyway.
How do you know?
How do I know what?
What you just said.
I said not on the air.
Okay.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. So we really don't know, do we? All right. Anyway, well, you know, that's our beginning rant on a quote. All right, y'all. Hey, you know what? Let's do this. If you got a quote, that you want us to hear and talk about today, give us a call, 347-838-8622. I'm sure there's some doozies out there, and we can chat it up about those. Hey, it's Friday, and you done got your party music. See what I'm saying? So come on, let's have some fun with some quotes today. And please, please keep them clean, all right? We don't need no nasty quotes today because we are on in the daytime. Thank you. But until then, let's continue on with what we were talking about. Oh, I forgot, 347-838-8622. Yeah, that's the number you call in, okay? Now, anyway. So, and I see something in the chat room. So, Sister Ngoni, what you think about that Michael Dunn trial down in Florida, in my part of the woods? You know, what do you think about that?
I don't know about it, but my mom was telling me today that it happened in Florida. I wasn't aware that that incident happened in Florida. I had heard about it. I don't know if it was you who told me about it or not. But so what's going on? I'm not aware.
Well, okay, to sum it up pretty much, it was four black guys sitting in a gas station, like a little shopette, and a white man walked up to him. He said he had a problem with the music, you know. So he went back, pulled out his gun, shot one of the kids, and then went to his hotel room, ordered pizza, and was getting ready to go back when he got arrested. So, you know, that's basically the case, and he's on trial right now. I think everybody has rested their case, so I think it's up to the jury right now. But they was trying to say he feared for his life because he saw a shotgun in the vehicle. Of course, you know, if that's the case, then you know, them young thugs, if they got a shotgun and you messing with them, they gonna pull it out and use it. You know, but it was
well.
No
not
such
only
thing.
That. I'm sorry, Eric.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Not only that. If he was legitimate, he would have called the police. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. That kind of excuse he's coming up with. Come on, give me a break.
Well, you know? And here's one of the things though. That kind of I foresaw this coming with the what's his name, Zimmerman trial. The way he got off. You know, that's the first thing they're gonna claim, because you know certain key words you're supposed to use, and fearing for my life is one of the big ones. However, his actions did not justify what he did. So I don't know. It's very interesting because, you know, that was Trayvon was in Sanford, Florida, one of the most prejudiced places you can be, and now it's in Jacksonville, Florida. You know. And that's right up the road, basically, and, you know, it's going to be interesting. It really is. So,
well,
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I thought my mom said that there was no gun in the car or shotgun in the car.
Well, that's what the defense tried to say. There was a gun in the car.
But in reality, there wasn't one. Am I
there wasn't
is that
one.
Correct?
Right, right.
Okay, okay. Yeah, so, you know, he thought, nah, that ain't good enough, right?
Well, he's trying to, you know, like I said, use anything he can to, you know, build a defense. And it basically...
Yeah, you know, that's cold-blooded. You go shoot up the car and then go back to the hotel, go order pizza and what else?
And then he was getting ready to leave and go back to wherever he came from. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, that's raggedy. That's raggedy. You know, and it's just really interesting. And like I say, you know, the trial didn't actually last that long. It really didn't. So, I don't know. I'll just maybe thinking, but I don't think it's going to turn out like the Zimmerman trial did. Because if it do, man, you know it's going to be some bad things going on. You know, I'm from Jacksonville, and I can tell you, if that don't go right, it's going to be some bad things going on. So I hope they get it right this time.
I do, too.
Yeah, you know, make it good. Let's see. You put a quote in the chat room that says, if I can get it back, friends can help each other. A true friend is someone who lets you, okay, lets you have total freedom to be yourself. I hate it when the screen keeps jumping back. Freedom to be yourself, especially to feel or not feel. Whatever you happen to be feeling at the moment is fine with them. That's what real love amounts to. That's what real love amounts to. Letting a person be what he really is. Jim Morrison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty nice.
Yeah, it is. And you know what, though? Wow. You know, that's a very good point right there. You know, a true friend. Now, what is a true friend? What? I mean, okay, we just read here what someone thinks a true friend is. You know, but is there a limit to really being a true friend? Is there any time where you just have to say, look, man, I can't deal with you anymore. You know, this ain't working. Is there a point to where you have to end the friendship?
It happens, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, that depends on the persons, the people that are involved. It depends on, you know, how much the friendship is valued. And I think a true friend is someone you can fall out with and work it out later.
Mm.
That's when you know you're a true friend.
Okay. So
that's how I feel about it. Because, you know, like even in my family, you know, we're not always able to talk about our issues, you know, but a friend is somebody you're supposed to be able to work it out with.
Mm. Okay. In the chat room, Corndog5 says, a true friend will help you hide from the law. Is that really being a true friend? Is that really a true friend to help you hide from the law?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Hey, this is Freedom Friday, right?
That's right, Freedom Friday. So in that case, then both of y'all be sitting in the jail cell. Well, at least we're here together. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, I see something else in the chat room. Say, I heard they call off the Zimmerman and DMX fight. What do y'all think about that? I really didn't know they were going to fight. Where were they going to fight at? And who was going to go? I wasn't going. You know, I didn't know that. Hmm. Okay, Ms. Blocker, you're going to have to inform us of that a little bit more because I have no, I don't know nothing about it. Mm-mm-mm. But true friends are going to sit in jail with you. I don't know. One of us, see, a true friend wouldn't because one of us got to bail the other one out, if that's the truth.
That's why you need
more than one. Uh-huh, that's why you what?
That's why you need more than one friend.
Ah, no, see, that's when it gets messy. That's when, what?
Come on.
Yeah, because think about it. Okay, I'm finna take it somewhere. They try and go every day, and I know I'm about to start something. See, here it is. You know, if you really look at it, men and women, I think, view friendship differently. You know, as far as the guys, you know, we have that one main buddy that we hang out with. You know, that's ride or die. But we've been knowing them. Okay, we've been knowing them forever. So that's your ride or die. And with him, y'all can fall out, and y'all get together late on that night, drink a beer, chill out, and it's over with. Now, if you take a woman, you know, she has to have, she has three or four so-called friends, okay? Now, here's the thing. Here's the other thing. Now, when one of the friends fall out with another one of the friends, the main one who's friend with all of them is expected to not deal with that one that caused the other friend to get mad. You understand what I'm saying?
No,
and
that's
just saying that is just confusing. I
come
can imagine
on,
being there. Just saying it confused me. So just thinking he was there. And come on, that's
Eric.
Because you know that's.
Oh no, that's high school stuff you're talking about now. Come on now.
It may be high school stuff, but it goes on every day with grown women. It does.
Well, I won't speak about it then because I think
Come on. It's Freedom Friday.
Well,
that's what you said, right?
I can't relate to that.
Okay.
I can't relate to that.
You can't relate to that?
I can relate to what you said about men. They can fall out and go play basketball. call a couple of hours later. Now, when women call out, it takes weeks to work it out.
But see,
you have more emotions.
That's what it is. It's emotion.
Yeah.
Ah. Okay. But so why do women expect everybody else in the group not to like that one, because she was the only one got an argument with them, right? So why is she expecting everybody else to fall out with her? And you know, if you see her, and don't talk to her, you know. And then she see together, they done got mad at you now. I mean,
is that how they do it in Texas? Because I don't know what you're telling, and I'm not buying none.
Okay, you're not buying that. Okay, all right, ladies. I'm calling them in now, ladies. I want to know y'all opinion on this one. Give me a call, 347-838-8622. Let me know what the – because my co-host says that doesn't happen. I'm saying it happens.
I did not say that, Eric. I did not say that. I said I don't roll like that.
Okay, you don't roll like that. Okay.
That don't happen. Now, Chef Rob says if you want a friend, go buy a puppy.
You know, that's funny. I heard a comedian say that today. He say, you know why I love my dog? And it was why. He say, because my dog needs me and don't treat me like crap. And I just thought about it and just fell out laughing.
Well, dogs give unconditional love.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he was saying. Uh-oh, we done did something because the lines are lighting up.
They don't have the ability to analyze things.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Okay.
That's the problem. Okay.
Hell yeah.
I can't even argue with that. All right, let's bring these two individuals on and see what they have to add to the conversation today. All right, let's see. That's 1111, and that's 1112. Welcome to the show. How y'all doing today?
All right. It's Beasley.
Hey, Beasley.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Happy Friday. I watched a documentary last night.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I watched a documentary last night on it's Ken Burns Jazz, and it was excellent. But it's about love. And, you know, Lester Young, the Prez, and Billie Holiday at one time had a real serious romance that broke off. You know, but they both still mm-hmm. cared about each other, but they hooked up years later. Well, she was singing the song, and the song was, part of the lyrics was, love is like a faucet. You know, you keep turning, because you turn me on and off. And I thought that was cute, but they had a little video of them while he was playing the saxophone to her singing. And, you know, they're almost like a match made in heaven when it comes to making music together. And the guy said that we were in the studio recording that, and that they were crying. And I was like, wow, that's how powerful it was. I just thought that was interesting on that. This Michael Dunn thing, I haven't been following it because I don't have cable television anymore, and it's really not that heavy on the net. You have to look for it. But, it'd be amazing if he gets away with this, and I can't believe they've been deliberating. They're in the third day now, which means they're actually giving some credence to his bullshit story. And, you know, the kid, the guy that he shot was only 17 also, and there's a chance that he may get away with it. You know, he said he felt like his life was in danger. It's almost like these situations keep happening to push people. I mean, I remember I lived in Los Angeles for the whole Rodney King thing, and I remember all the dynamics and everything that happened. And it seems like it's the same thing happening over again, or it's a similar thing happening over again. I don't know. It just looks like they're pushing folks to go at each other on a racial level in the street. It looks like they're looking for riots to happen because they're even the lawyer for George Zimmerman, Mark O'Meara, said that he feels this guy's guilty and he'll be found guilty. Or he said he'd be found guilty, and he said in his words, he says, you know, I would expect some unrest in the community. if he were to be acquitted. And as far as the topic, I know men that are just as catty as women. I wouldn't say women do that only necessarily. Oh, you're talking to so-and-so, you know, why do you talk to so-and-so? I've seen men do the same type of thing, too. And I have lots of friends that don't get along with each other or that know of each other. And, you know, usually grown folks just let it go. It's not a big deal. You know, I mean, it's not a big deal. You don't make a big fuss about it. An adult understands that, an adult understands that they can have a different experience with the same person. Correct? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I had myself muted, Mr. Beasley.
Okay.
I think Mr. Talk must be gone. But, yeah, what you said, yes. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, when you were talking about the effort to cause, keep all this tension going, we know it's been going on for a long time, but it seemed like they're intensifying their efforts. And it always seems to come like that when there's a real strong economic downturn. Seems like it gets worse, doesn't it?
I don't know that how bad the economy was it seems like they're always trying to push racial tensions. You know, nothing gets people more excited than race. And I heard, you know, so-called good white folks, you know, taking the position of George Zimmerman like he was right. And I couldn't even believe it. It got to the point that on some, you know, you don't even want to discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to discuss it because it's so damn obvious. But these people, you know, and this one, the tipping point is loud music. And I know lots of folks, you know, just that are just a little bit older, that don't care for the loud music that the young people play. But that's no reason to kill anybody.
Well, the tension is always in this society. That's true. Always been here, and, you know, and it never completely goes away. That's true. But I'm saying, if you think about when jobs get scarce and people start having hard economic times, a lot of jealousy, you know, people have a good car or something, the police want to harass people. What are you doing over here in this neighborhood and that type of thing, you know?
I don't know anybody who maybe that gun empowers you. Maybe that gun gives you a sense of entitlement. But if I were to pull up and some young people are playing the music real loud, I would just figure I'm here at this store for a hot second. Let them play the music as loud as they want. I used to be young and play my music loud. And I'm going to keep it moving. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for that trouble. You know,
but you're not a hater.
No, but even if I had that gun on me, and I remember how it was when I was young. You're a little bit wild, but I don't think those kids did anything too wrong, and they definitely didn't it's a mess, and it's disturbing. And
you got to be a hater to do something like that. That's you just got to have hate in your heart, you know.
You're on edge. I mean, what's the big deal? Now, I lived in Cincinnati for a year on business, and I had a little, this little stereo system that was powerful. In fact, I still have it. And I would play my hip-hop, and I'd play it loud, and my white neighbor knocked on my door, actually pounded on my door. So I opened the door. I'm like, you know, you don't have to pound on the door. He said, look, and he's seething and he's red. He said, you can listen to any type of music that you want to. I said, thank you. I can read any kind of book I wanted to. What the fuck's the problem? Fuck you banging on my door for, you know? And he said, well, you know, it's just that the music, you know, the words that is coming out of the music. I said, look, I'll turn the music down. I'm sorry. But don't bang on my door any fucking more. In fact, here's my phone number, you know?
Yeah.
I'm Beasley. I'm your neighbor. I didn't know that the music was loud enough to bother anybody. But there's no reason to bang on my door. But please don't tell me what, you know, you're telling me I can listen to any type of music that I want. I know that. I can read any kind of book I want, too.
Well, see, that's what we, well, I really don't want to get too deep into it, but you see, that's what where I was coming from about this whole thing about people having power over other people. There's an attitude that some people think they have the right to have authority and to force other people to do things.
Oh, white folks, there are white folks out there that have that sense of entitlement, and you have to constantly put them in their fucking place, you know? You have to, and you can do it with words, and they look and feel stupid afterwards. He's going to tell me he's going to come knock, bang on my door, and be seething, you know, and you know, breathing hard and like he's furious, and telling me I can listen to any type of music I want to. I'm, who the fuck are you talking to? Of course,
well, you know what? I'm not trying to be no defense lawyer for nobody, but there's people who look like us that have the same attitude. Because there's a whole lot of them toting around guns that I've seen videos on YouTube where our brothers in the baby blue uniforms beating up black women in the jailhouse, okay? Beating them up real bad.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about the whole attitude of anybody. I don't care what color they are. Having the audacity or the arrogance to think that they have a right to impose force on other people, period.
Yeah.
That's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional. See, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't let them get away with any of it. You know, I don't let them get away with it. I speak up just about each and every time.
Yeah,
and I belittle them with words, and I don't even have to get belligerent, but if I have to, I'll do that as well. But
well, it's definitely important to be able to think for ourselves, and to sometimes, you know, we have to stand up and, you know, to tell it like it is, right?
And I had a little poodle. Buster, rest in peace. I love Buster. Buster was about 6 or 7 pounds. And Buster, and I lived on a block with condominiums and nice apartment buildings, and Buster would take little craps, and I wouldn't bother to pick them up. They'd be so little, you know? At best, they look like a roll of pennies. You know, that's the biggest thing would be. And some guy in the next building came over to me, same thing, white, breathing hard and angry. He said, "You need to pick that up right now." I said, "I ain't picking up shit. Who are you, the shit police? I'm not picking up a goddamn thing. If I pick it up, I'm going to smudge it in your face."
Yeah, well, you know what? You know, there's always things that happen that are unpleasant, but, you know.
No, it's that sense of you have authority over me, you know. You know, it's that sense of your authority over me. If he, you know, if he would have walked up and said, you know, we try to keep the lawn here and people walk through it and this and that and the other, I might have said, "Do you have something where I can pick it up with?" You know, I might have been cooperative. It's all about your tone and it's how you come across. So, yeah.
It's true. That makes a big difference.
I can imagine how they are in the South.
No, well, where I'm at, it's a very diverse population here. They're very friendly and polite. I haven't encountered any one time since I've been here, there was a guy in one of those trucks that have the big tires on, you know, and they're sitting way up. And he was, I guess, in a hurry to go someplace. He was very rude. But since that time, I haven't experienced anything like that. I really, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, the vibration you're putting out, too. You know, I mean, a lot of people get road rage and, you know, go out of the house with a nasty attitude. And I think sometimes you can draw that kind of stuff to you. I do.
No, that's true.
Yep.
That's true.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. You ask me what you're going to ask me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you happen to hear Mr. Talk, what he said about the song, that he was the last song he played that had a message in the song that said, "God is mad because we let computers take over"?
I didn't hear that, and, you know, you know, when people get to speaking for God and what God told them, you know, I kind of raise an eyebrow.
Well, you know, it's not that deep, Mr. Vibb.
Right, I mean, but yeah.
The point he was making was that they put subliminal messages in music, and sometimes we don't pay attention because we be jamming to the beat.
No, that's true. Well, there's a song out now that the young folks are listening to that Nicki Minaj just put out, and it's going in on men, and the guys are reacting to it. And apparently it's called Looking Ass Nigga. Oops, don't shoot me. Well, that's the title of the song, damn it. I didn't try to do that, and I wasn't trying to be funny. Yeah, right. The police ain't here, but he might come back and shoot me. But so a lot of people are reacting, which caused a lot of conversation. But on the artwork on the song, she has Malcolm X looking out of the window. You know the famous picture where he has the gun and he's in his house and he's looking out of the window.
Uh huh.
Yeah, because of the threats that were being made against him.
And yeah, I remember that.
And people are coming down on her for using that image, and she apologized for it. So,
why were they coming down on her for using that image?
Well, I guess the lyrics of the song, you know, it's putting men down, and I guess they didn't like the fact that she was using Malcolm X. I mean, she's only 27, 28 years old. And also, plus, that she's considered one of those Illuminati puppet type artists that's many consisters. At any rate,
well, I guess that's the thought police in action, huh?
You put something out there, you should be held accountable for it. People have a right to their opinions, and you put something out there. Particularly some of these artists that you wonder what they're. Well, you don't have to wonder. You know that their agenda, that they're part of an agenda that's really not to benefit the folks.
Yeah. Well, let me see if we got some people that might want to join in the conversation, Mr. Beasley. I'm kind of multitasking here, so forgive me.
No, it's okay.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just me and you, so let's see what else is going on in the world. Let's see here. Have you seen this movie... preview about, it's called Divergence.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, it's supposed to be coming out, I think, in June, and they've been flashing it all over Blog Talk. Every time you go in to listen to a Blog Talk archive, this movie preview comes up. And it's about, a futuristic movie where, you know, they've divided society into different sex, and they take people out of their family based on their blood type. They put everybody where they're supposed to be, and there's a few people that have the ability to overcome their fears, but they have to hide their ability or they'll be killed because the people that are in charge feel like that they're a threat to their power. But the thing wasn't so much about that part of the movie. It was that they showed the image of Hillary Clinton. I mean, they have this actress with her hairdo and this outfit that, you know, has been seen. It was obvious that they were putting out the image of Hillary Clinton. And I thought that was interesting because, you know, she's been out on the road for over a year because, you know, they've already selected her for the next puppet.
I don't think she's going to win the Democratic nomination.
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's rigged anyway. So to me, it's not about who wins because electoral votes decide presidents. So I don't even think about it from that perspective. I'm talking
those
about
those electoral votes. People complain about them, but those electoral votes are they usually fall right in line with whatever the popular vote was for that state.
If you say so, Mr. Beasley, I'll leave that alone because, you know, they got those black boxes now. So I'm not so sure.
You can question all of it. I mean, I believe that all those people that run, that they, you know, they get attention, are selected. I believe that. But, and there may even be, you know, I don't know if they even have to have that type of fancy, wide-scale fraud of the vote because it's too easy to fool and manipulate people with
well,
the issues and the non-issues.
You have a point there. You really
I don't even think they have to go through all that. I mean, you know, people are easy to sway.
That's
people
true.
People are easy to sway and stoke their emotions, and that's how these elections are determined. They're determined on emotional issues. Karl Rove, even though he was evil, he was a master at that.
I'm not familiar with that.
Karl Rove is was
oh
the
yeah
brain,
yeah
was
I'm
the
sorry.
Guy with the glasses. He's the brain. He's the brains behind the Bush election and administrations. He was Bush's.
Well,
they called him Bush's brain.
Well,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
right. I remember. Kind of short guy.
Well, you know, Karl Rove is on the outs now with the Republican Party because they have spent so much money. He's supposed to be is the man to get the Republicans elected, and they spent so much money pumping into what's his name, Nick Romney,
yeah.
And he lost. So you know, GOP got upset about it. So he's out, and he's just out of there. And you know that's amazing because at one time they were, you know, they liked Governor Christie of New Jersey, and it's amazing how they can turn on you just at the, you know, just like that. Because what happened was first they got on him talking about he was too big, you know, of course that thing there. Now this New Jersey turnpike thing, or what about the traffic? You know, and they slowly trying to tear them down because, you know, apparently someone has decided that no, we're not having him as, you know, as our representative. Of course, they say they're trying to go ahead and pick up, you know, be more minority friendly. You know, I don't know how well that's going to work. You know, but here's the thing though, as Sister Goni and I have often sat down and talked about, you know, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party.
Ain't much
you know,
difference.
Ain't much days. Difference. Because if for those who don't remember, one was the other and the other one was, you know, they has flip-flop. And eventually they're going to flip-flop again, if not come together and just form one big thing. So it's going to be interesting. So I don't know. Now,
if this stuff, and this stuff is true that's coming out about Christie's administration, you know, he's doing dirty political tricks, dirty
man,
political retribution stuff.
He's not doing nothing no other politician hasn't done.
Yeah, but
that's how you have to remember. Take Ray Nagin down in New Orleans, for instance. Now, everything was fine until he said Atlanta is going to remain chocolate. And boy, when he said that, boy, the hounds came out after him. Now he's been indicted on 20 or 21 charges of corruption.
Oh, he's convicted. He's been convicted.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's just waiting on his trial. But
he's been convicted. He's already had a trial and been convicted. He just got convicted this week.
He's waiting on his sentencing.
Right. He's going to prison.
Right.
For a long time.
So, you know, let's really look at that. Here's the point. Now, we got a man, you know, that if he did his corruption, whatever. But we have this young boy in Texas. His parents are rich and are crazy rich. He kills 4 people, and yet he gets 10 years probation. Or put in a rehabilitation.
You can't explain that one off. Especially, even though it's a totally different state, but especially when somebody like Plaxico Burress dumb's ass shoots himself in the club and ends up going to prison.
Yeah. See, and, you know, and, so that tells you something wrong.
definitely wrong. Well, you know, it's a, I think I've said this before, but when one of those Kennedy kids had a murder trial, excuse me, not a murder, a rape trial down in Florida, William Kennedy, and he beat the case, but he had a really good lawyer. He had Roy Black, who's one of the top criminal lawyers in Miami. And they asked Roy Black, they said, you know, what does this say about our judicial system? Is our judicial system broken? How could this happen? He says, you have to understand. This made perfect sense to me. He said, you have to understand our judicial system is part of the larger capitalistic system, and that if you have the resources to hire the best counsel and the resources to hire investigators and pay for professionals, you know, doctors to come give opinions, that you're going to get the very best defense and you stand a far better chance of beating the charge. That simple. Money talks.
Wow.
It's what everybody knows, but he just said it. He just put it in perspective. He said our judicial system is part of the larger capitalistic system, and he said there's nowhere in our society that having money is not going to benefit you in any situation. You can go to the, you can pay for the best colleges, the best schools. You can, I mean, if someone's charged with a crime and they don't have any money, they sit in jail. I mean, they don't have money to bail out. They sit in jail and have to fight the case from there. That can't, and that's a whole lot more pressure than being able to be out of out on bail.
Okay.
But, so,
all
I mean,
right. You got some good points there. And you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to do I'm going to do a show on racism here within the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to bring some people on so we can, you know, really discuss this dynamic and see what's really going on. So, y'all be getting ready for that. We got another caller waiting in on the queue, so let me bring them
please
in. All
well,
right. One. Yes, go ahead.
I wanted to I forgot. I should have done this in the beginning, but if Mr. Robert M. Barbara is listening, I would like to apologize for yesterday because that was a case of mistaken identity, and I would like to say I really enjoyed listening to your show on Blog Talk Radio and hope you'll come back and visit us at Let's Talk Again soon. Thank you, Eric.
All right, you're welcome. All right, 111, who do I have here?
Maze.
Well, hello, Maze. How are you?
Just fine.
Hi, Maze.
Hi. Hello, Beasley.
Hey, Maze.
I'm going to have to stop hanging out with you guys. I'm sleepy today. I'm hanging out with you two black guys, and I don't know what the other one was. He didn't give what he was. But anyway, when we discuss Hillary had never said she was running for nothing. That's the media saying she's running, and if she did, I wouldn't vote for her.
Yeah,
okay.
She hasn't said, but you know that she wants it.
She probably do want it, but I don't think it's going to be there for her.
I don't think so either.
I think the next person that will be president will be a Hispanic.
Then you really think that?
Possible.
And what are your what are your grounds for that type of thinking?
The same ground that everybody else get to be president for, because they need them.
Now
and
wait a
gonna
minute.
Be
wait
the
a
chosen.
Minute.
The next chosen group will be the Hispanics.
Okay, who is they? Who is they? And
whoever
why are
the
they choosing anybody? Huh?
Whoever chooses for the people to be president.
So
we don't choose for them to be that.
So what you're stating is they done had one minority president already, and they're just going to continue with that?
Yes.
Hmm. Interesting.
Is something wrong with it?
Is something wrong with it? I wouldn't say anything wrong with it if that's the case, but
okay.
I don't see that happening. Hello.
Oh,
Lord. What you doing, Maze?
I'm not doing nothing.
Oh, somebody hit something hard. But no, I don't see that happening. I really don't. I think because of all the, how can I put it, all the turmoil and the hassle they're giving this president, you know, I don't think it's going to be another minority enough for a little bit. Now, if they can, they'll get Hillary in there.
No, they won't.
You know, but then again, that's going to be a battle also. You know, and you have to understand, the way this government works, It's controlled. There is a shadow government. Let's put it out like that, first of all. Now, and after everything comes around, you know, it's just determined by the shadow government. Now, you got the risk. The midterm elections coming up for Congress. All right. And I think that would have a that would determine a lot of who's actually going to run for president. You know, we still talking 2 years away. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Basically. So it's going to be interesting, but I don't know. You just have to wait and see, because everybody, all politicians right now who may be thinking of running, they got feelers out there. You know, they getting their little surveys done to see how people will accept them or accept them, you know, as far as running for president. So, you know, it's going to be one of those things. That's just my opinion, of course. But, yeah, that's how it's going to work. Okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know what difference it makes what ethnicity somebody is. You know, I don't know what difference it makes, because it's the agenda that's important.
It's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. That you know, I'm so above, I'm so past that. I don't care what your ethnicity is. You know, it's what you do. It's what you represent. You know, what something we were talking about race or something last night, and, you know, Mr. Solutions was talking about, you know, define black, and it's hard to, you know, define what a black person is. And I
no, he said that black. He said that black was something poor. That's what he said.
Well,
he said
that as well. He said that as well. But think about it. I mean, how do you define being black in America? And I know there's a long textbook. You know, there's a long and what really defines a black person? Everything from the one drop rule. Were someone that may not look or have any black appearance at all. But, I mean, and what I said was this. I said, yeah, you got a point, because Clarence Thomas is black, and so is H. Rap Brown. So Stokely Carmichael.
But I'm saying you don't have to deny your blackness just because you're black and say you never say your birth certificate say you are.
That's a whole other issue, and I see where you're coming from, and that troubles me a bit. But that's
and I say when you get in front of a police lineup and they're going to say determine what your race is, you're going to be either one or the other.
I know that's the truth.
So then, how can you determine to say you're not black?
Well, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, you
know
what?
This is a hot one.
Now, look, I used to say that same thing. You know, I wasn't about being African-American, and I say, I'm black, dang it, I'm black. But if you really think about it, now, here's the thing. If you really think about it, black is a color. And if you look at dictionary, it's always used for negativity, more or less. You know, the bad guy wears black. You know, the darkness is related to a black hole. So, you know, and once I had that discussion, I had to really come to the conclusion, and my co-host says it all the time. I am a human being. That is what I am. I'm not black.
Everybody are human beings, but you are not determined by being a human being.
Hush, Maze, I'm talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
Thank you. Now, and you know, that's part of the problem. We all want to be this and that and that and this. And really, we are all human beings. That's it. You know, once again, we have fallen into the little trap of, you know, having to distinguish ourselves by the color of our skin. But we all bleed red. We all have a heart. You know, if that heart stops, we all die. You know, that ain't got nothing to do with it. But we have been fed this bull crap for so long, we are just eating it up like it's a great Sunday dinner. Go ahead,
now, can
Mace.
I speak? Well, if you look at the job market, what do you hear them say? The black community has the highest unemployment rate in America. You fill out an application, what do you see? So you're talking about what you're not, but when it comes to bad things and when it comes to disease, who at the top of the list? You're not left out then, so why you want to leave yourself out about being black when they consider you as what you are?
May,
that's what they call you.
May, what does that have to do with your skin color? See, here's the thing.
I am black, and I am
proud. Listen, Mae. All right, now, you know, here's the thing about that. You know, as always, you know, we want to concentrate on the negativity. Well, what about this? Well, once we realize and finally get off our butts and realize that we are a part of the human race and quit falling for this propaganda that we've been given, that because we are a certain color, we cannot perform as well as the others, we will be all right.
But, you know, I mean, so, you don't see it.
But see, as long as the media keeps feeding us that bull crap, we're going to keep believing.
Mr. Tuttle, when you fill out applications, what you do, human race, how do they keep counting you?
I've never seen the job application where you check your racial box.
Hold on, Mr. Beasley. Now, some applications, they, you know, if you fill it out online or whatever, but you can always check other.
But it still don't say nothing about human race. Other meaning what? People that deny who they are.
What?
No, other means you consider yourself, you don't consider yourself contained within that little so-called box that they want to put you in.
But like I'm saying, until I see a form that say human race, I can fill that out. But I don't see nothing say human race. It's got, you can even go to your doctor's office. They want to know what color you are. Filling out the form. What is your race? They want to keep
track of you. I've never seen them. I've never seen an employee. I've never seen a job application where they ask you your race.
Okay, hold on for a minute, y'all. Hold on for a minute. Now, let me put this out here real fast. Let me put this out here, and I'm going to make myself very clear. If you got something to say to me, come out the chat room and get on the air. Don't be playing me in the chat room, all right? I know what I said, and I know what I'm saying now. So if you got a problem with what I'm saying, come out my chat room and get on the air and talk to me then. If you can't do that, shut up. All right, go ahead, Mr. Beasley. I'm tired of y'all.
Talking about you, all facts, go ahead and call in and talk to the damn man. He's right. He can't talk on the show and maintain the board and deal with you in the chat room. He's right. You're taking shots at him. I respect what Mr. Talk's saying. It's like you can't do everything at once.
It's called multitasking.
But if somebody has something to say, go ahead and come on in and call in and put your skin in the game and put your ideas out there to get ridiculed and shot down and the chance to defend yourself.
People don't want to consider themselves as what they really are. But if you look at the census, what are they going to determine who you were and what you were doing at that time?
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Nobody has a problem about that.
Let me ask you a question.
You got Italians, you got Native Americans,
Mae,
you got Hispanics, and you got all kind of people.
I ain't got to talk over you. I done told you. Anyway, look, always running off the mouth. Don't want to listen. Now you're going to listen. All right, look, if the census come out, right, and nobody checks any block whatsoever, what does that tell you? Don't you think the message would be carried on? But for some reason, we feel like we have to be counted.
He don't like what I'm saying. I'm going to, when he pull me back up, I'm going to bust him up.
You ain't going to bust nobody up. Don't
yes, I am. Just because you got your ass in between your legs and think that you can take.
Well. All right. Anyway, as I was saying, I don't know.
Where
who
is
she with. I don't know what she's talking about. Anyway, as I was saying, you know, once again, we just fall into that category that, you know, everybody want to be entitled or be put in a box. And I've said this all the time, you know, we need to get out of that box. And once we get out of the box, we'll learn that things are a whole lot better. You understand? It's a whole lot better. That's all I'm saying. Now go ahead, Mr. Beasley. But anybody come on my show talking about they gonna bust me in my ass. You got issues, but I'm gonna show you who's gonna do the busting. I'll show you.
Time to hide out. Chef Rob said he's on the line.
Chef Rob need to push one. Nah, I ain't gonna be searching for your numbers, even though I know who you are. Press one. Get in the queue. All right. So. I'm through right now. See, y'all done, boy, I tell you, y'all just done brought the ugly out. All right, Chef Rob in. You see, Chef Rob, before you get started, man, put the blunt down, okay? Don't come in here talking blunt language. All right, now, go ahead. What's up, man?
Why should I do that? I need that to go ahead and get through my day because there's a lot of crazies out here. Look here, man, that whole thing about I'm a human and all that other stuff, that's nonsense, dude. We need to stop saying that. You are who you are. You are of African descent in this country, and that's it, final. Wow. You don't believe that. You do not believe that. You go ahead and pick up your paper, look at media, and you go ahead and pay attention to what you just said about Michael Dunn. Michael Dunn didn't go over to a group of white kids
Mike,
in the car.
Mike, yeah. Rob, let me ask you a question, Rob. Before you was whatever color you are, what were you?
I'm African in America.
No. Before you found out you was African American, what were you?
African in America.
My parents were African. You're tap dancing.
You tap dancing because you don't want to hear the facts. You don't want to hear the truth. So you try to go ahead and do the mind thing on me to switch me around, but it's not going to work.
No, see, I'm telling you, what were you? No, he wasn't just a boy.
You believe that, you believe that garbage, and this is why we got problems. You can't go ahead and twist around what you are, who you are, where you come from, and your
ancestry.
No, you cannot do that.
Especially if you're mixed race.
Hold on, I heard you. Let me get my piece out. Like you just said, Michael Dunn went over to a group of black kids and told them to turn their music down. Do you notice some of the stuff he was saying when he got arrested when he was in jail about killing niggas? And that ain't the only one saying that kind of crazy stuff. You are who you are, and that's what you need to stop hiding because these people are doing what they're doing to you because you are who you are. They killing us because we killing us. And this guy went and took it upon himself because he knows in Florida he going to get away with it. Think about what
Jeff Rob.
You see what?
May I? Or if you're not finished, I can wait.
I'm sorry, sister. Go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm good. Well, there's another issue.
Staff.
And I want to just ask a question to be considered, that's all. You said that they're killing us because of who we are, and I say, is it that or is it they're killing us because of who they are? And do we have a right to demand of others to tell them how to identify who they are?
You know what, sister, and I agree with that. It's a little bit of both.
Wait a minute. Please just take a deep breath and think about what I said because I'm not trying to be right here.
I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's a little bit of both. And that's been in these people's nature because they came on the scene fighting and killing each other. See, one of the biggest things that they had control over is the media, the image. They've been controlling the media image about us for years. But if you go back, if you go ahead and you check, you see that all the news apparatuses that they have out here, we have nothing to match them. We've never had anything to match them. That's why they can go ahead and control that message and image about who we are and what we are. And they've been doing that. The sad part about it is they've convinced a whole lot of people of African descent how terrible they are and trying to switch the conversation in. That's the worst part.
That's absolutely correct. And not only do they do it here, but they do it worldwide. Because when I lived in Ghana, they were, you know, they had our image all over the world. They even in Europe, you know, they had some sports guy. I don't know his name because I'm not into sports, but they had him on a big billboard in some red high heel shoes, a man.
Right.
Okay. Now, did they make him do that or did he do that for money?
He did that for money. And look, if you go ahead and you destroy, it's the same thing here in America. You go ahead, these neighborhoods are messed up, screwed up, and people are going ahead and doing anything it takes to survive. And most people can go ahead and pull their resources to go ahead and do some stuff, but they have no role models. Nobody to go ahead and say, hey, look, stop doing what you're doing. Let's take whatever little cash you made from the game and do something else with it. Ain't nobody doing that because you got more people trying to go ahead and keep the game the way it is. Here's something. I was going ahead and putting some jokes in there about, and some of it was partially serious, about weed and reefers. But marijuana is illegal in this country. One reason, the main reason why, is to go ahead and keep on locking up minorities. And if you go ahead and you look at the whole thing about cocaine, powder cocaine, you got less time for, and crack cocaine, you got more time. Blacks was doing more crack cocaine. So the whole thing is to go ahead and keep this economy going. Crime is keeping this economy going. Nothing else but crime. More illegal stuff is keeping this economy going. And
Go ahead. Finish your thought. I'm sorry.
One of the biggest things that's really, 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 really getting on my nerves here is nobody's really dealing with this whole issue about the heroin trade. The heroin is flowing into America. They get making record profits, but the U.S. is over in Afghanistan only to protect the heroin trade.
Did you know that the heroin that they've been seizing, that 15 years ago, the heroin that they were seizing, the majority of it came from Mexico. Now the majority of it comes from Afghanistan, and I'm talking about the big majority.
But look,
like 90%. Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you can
okay, hold
fill
on,
in the,
hold
bl-
on for
fill
minute.
In the blank.
Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. Hold on. Before we get into the heroin thing, I'm sure we're going to get there. There's 28 minutes left in the show. If you want to continue to hear live after 28 minutes, you got to give us a call, 347-838-8622. All right, let me bring Mr. Solution in because he want to get a part of this conversation as well. So welcome to the show, Mr. Solution.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. Just briefly here, I was looking at a comment made by Chef Rob there, and just basically what he says here, black is a color and African is a culture. When the police pull you over, he said that, but I think he meant they. They don't give a damn about you being human. They see your black ass and will treat you like dirt because you are African. Stop hating who you are and running from what you are. Now, this is the reason I redacted that is because this is very important. What this is fundamentally is fear. It's also a great deal of ignorance, but it's primarily fear. Number one, everyone doesn't have this experience with the police. And so what you have people doing is trying to recruit you to their team of fear.
Wow, Mr. Solutions.
That's not true. You may
wow,
not have
Mr. Solutions. Let me do it real quick.
You may not have that experience with the police, and I'm going to deal with the ignorance part because it's coming from you. So, yeah, that ignorance part is coming from you because you may not have that experience with the police, but you may have that experience walking through the mall, going through the stores, okay?
And I never had.
You live
and you got to talk about, if you would look this up. Now, I know you're upset, but if you just let me make the statement, and I'm not fighting with you. If you look up octoroon, quadroon, and one drop, these were whites, demonstrably, that had this genetic trait of black, and they were legally defined as black. This whole thing is a game that's being run on people. Would you let me finish my point?
Who gave you that definition? Because your point's invalid. Who gave you
that definition? Let him finish his point, and his point isn't invalid because that's the way things are in America. That's the way racial classification was set up.
Right, and thank you.
And you know, and the sad thing is that black folks buy into it.
Him to let him finish his statement, and then you
yes,
start
I
talking.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. There was recently a huge debate, and it's amazing how these things come together. By Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy, and they quoted the head of the Human Genome Project, and they quoted him, and what he said was, "There's only one race, human. White folks divided people up for one purpose: to exploit them and to steal their labor and wealth. And I can give you a definition of black and white." And it's not the definition that people are giving. Because, first of all, the definition of black would not fit an octoroon or a quadroon. They would have to look into the person's background to determine they had sub-Saharan or African ancestry. And by the way, everybody came from Africa. There's not an anthropologist or a paleontologist that's worth their salt. Now, they may have come to America via another route, but everybody originated in Africa. Africa is the cradle of human civilization. Now, this thing in America, which both blacks and whites have bought into, whites set up a class system. And that class system, and it was just primarily these other groups weren't here yet, cultural groups. It was mainly what we call black and white. Whites defined that. And what they did is They define you based on poverty and powerlessness, which they gave you none. And they use the legal system to do it. Now, I hope the founding fathers are burning in hell, as they should be, the son of a bitches. But they said, we prefer wealth and greed over anything else, and we're setting up America. We're really setting up America. And they gave America this legacy. If America could have operated on an equal footing where everybody was treated according to their inalienable rights to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you wouldn't have this crap today. And so what the definition of black in America, and I want to be very clear, was powerlessness and poverty. And it's virtually still that way. And the definition of white, practically and historically, was privilege, wealth, and power, particularly over those.
You know what? There's holes in that, Mr. Solution. And I'll just give you an example. I mean, I can give you a lot of examples, but I'll just give you one example, okay? In Los Angeles, there were many, you know, it was a lot of opportunity there, and there were many blacks that achieved wealth and did well for them and did well for themselves in the, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s. And there's an area right around Crenshaw and Washington where there are some big, beautiful homes. In fact, some of the streets are cordoned off. And I'm not talking about just regular big homes. I'm talking about mansions, Beverly Hills-style old mansions. And it's in the middle of what you would call the hood. And when I was a kid, okay.
Are you talking about Viewpoint?
No, I'm not talking about View Park. I'm talking
what's
about
the area you're talking about? Because I know
call,
L.A.,
call,
so name the
call,
area.
They call it Lafayette Square. It's around Crenshaw and Washington. Around Crenshaw and Washington, surrounded by Venice. Surrounded
yes,
by Venice.
I've attended meetings there. But you're actually
right.
Making my point for me. Because
let me finish
when you become powerful and get
point.
Some
let me,
wealth,
let me finish. Let me finish.
You're no longer black. Go ahead.
No, that's not that. That's where this. Now this is going to shoot down what you're saying. Now, when I was a kid, I was like, "Wow, Mom, those are some really big, beautiful homes over here." She says, "Yes." I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. He's the famous black architect.
I know who you're talking about again,
right.
But.
All right.
Yeah.
And then the Hudson family that owned Broadway Federal Savings and many
right.
celebrated people. In fact, we had friends that lived over there, and we used to go to parties over there in high school. At any rate, I said, wow, this is really nice. She said, yeah, well, it's really nice over here. And it got to – she says that there was a point before the 60s or the middle of the 60s, that black people that had a lot of money, they couldn't move to Beverly Hills. If you remember when Nat King Cole, who was the first black TV star, okay, he had a regular variety show on television. He's a huge star, okay. When he tried to move into Hancock Park, which is only about 3 miles away. Okay, beautiful neighborhood.
Yeah, I know that area.
Beautiful neighborhood, too. He tried to move into Hancock Park. His neighbors went crazy. Here it is. He's probably wealthier than many of them. And him moving in there caused a big fuss. In fact, you can check it on the Internet. So no matter how wealthy these black people were, okay, how wealthy or how educated and how accomplished they were in their fields, they were denied living where they wanted to live in the nicer neighborhoods. So that really puts a lot of holes in that once you're wealthy, you're no longer black.
No, that doesn't put any okay, let
me
know.
To me it does. To me it does.
I got it. That doesn't put any holes in it because
it put holes all over through it.
The whole point is okay, well, you can say that, but see, you've got to realize that
can somebody else speak?
Let him respond and go ahead and speak. I want to hear what he has to say. And I'm the only
you
one
have
who
to
gets
understand
the
that people who identify themselves as black in America based upon the suppression of the law have developed a complex. When you have money, now I understand they were abusive because of the way they had been socialized, but you're only naming one situation, one
that's
isolated
one, I can name thousands of other situations.
Wait, wait a minute. That, but listen
but
to what I'm saying.
That's one very powerful one. Because when
okay,
you have money,
the person
when you have
money
and
has,
a lot of money, you should be able to live wherever the hell you want to live. Because you can afford it.
You can, but you have
now
options.
You can. You couldn't then.
What I'm saying to you, Beasley, and you know, I generally respect what you have to say. But if
we can disagree and still be cool.
Okay, yes,
right.
We can. But if you want to accept the victim mentality, you're free to do that. But what I'm telling you
is
the vast majority, if you look at the so-called black community, the most obvious thing that jumps out to anyone with their eyes open is the poverty. The abject poverty. One of the reasons that whites and other groups can overcome their problems is because they have the money to do so. They
can
get counseling or whatever
else
they need.
You're not addressing what I'm saying, though.
I'm saying if you look at if you look at
I'm talking about black people with money, with lots of money that are accomplishing their field, that are legitimate, that are denied, that have been denied.
Got you. But what they have to do is address the law and get that overturned, get that changed. The law has made a greater impact on the racial situation than anything else. It was the law that enforced race.
I have a question for you. When is the last time you've been on an Indian reservation, which did not belong to
inside? I'm not talking to you.
I'm talking to you. You've never been on an Indian reservation to see how they live. This is their America, not your America, or nobody else's Native Americans. That's who this country belonged to before some other people stepped in and claimed it and made it theirs. Since you want to deny your blackness, I'm still saying I'm black and I'm happy to be that way. And I am a human.
Everybody is black.
I know I'm a human being. I know I'm from the human race. But on this planet,
you obviously haven't gone to school.
On this planet, as I say, Native Americans
were
here first.
Is from
as you
Africa.
Said,
do
who
you
was
acknowledge
first?
That?
Everybody was not from Africa.
Okay,
and
hold
on.
They got here.
Maybe many
right, hold
centuries
on. Hold
ago.
On.
Maybe many
hold
centuries
on.
Ago, Mr.
Hold
Mr.
on.
Mr. Todd.
Thank you. Yes.
Mr.
Hold on.
I would like
yes.
to get.
You'd like to what?
You going first?
Yeah, I want to bring Michael in, but go ahead. After you get finished, I'll bring Michael in.
Yeah, please do. Thank you very much.
Okay.
In my view, first of all, you're all arguing the wrong point. The problem with people of African descent in this country is their status in the law, not the amount of so-called money they have, because as I've said many times, you don't have any money. You just think you have some.
Oh, good grief.
Black means you have no standing in the law. White means you have standing in the law, meaning when you go in court, you don't have standing in the law. You are subject under another people. When you call yourself a citizen of the United States, you are treated as an employee and you're under statutes and regulations. That is why we get that we do here. Yes, this is a class system. As a matter of fact, it's a caste system. And the reason why we are in the position we are in is because we as a whole chose to march for something called civil rights. And we didn't bother to stop and ask what civil rights are. Civil rights, the root word is Latin, civili, for slave laws. So that's why we get treated like slaves, because that's what we are. So you can talk about your money. You can talk about moving into a certain neighborhood, driving in a Mercedes or whatever you want, buy a yacht, whatever you want to, depending on your standard or your education, where they want to use you for their purposes, whether that's in the corporation or whether in the White House. Mr. Obama orders from somebody else also. So you're arguing the wrong point. Let me say one more last thing. I'm done. Issue is national status. You don't have a national status. That's the reason why we'll never get reparations.
That's right.
Been integrated and assimilated into somebody else's society. I'm done with it.
She won.
All right. Can I ask you a question?
Hold on. I said when she got finished, I was going to bring Michael in. So let me bring Michael in. Thank y'all. All right. Hello, Mr. Michael. How are you doing today?
What? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Real quick. Yeah. First of all, Mr. Tarver, let's stay straight. It's not going to take me long, Mr. Gong. We understand what you're saying, but listen. I want to bring everything, the totality, together. It's about your mindset. Forget the rest of the world. Let's just talk about my mindset. Let's bring everything together. Yes, Mr. Talk, Mr. Solution, we're human beings, we're the human species, right? We can't have a baby with a butterfly. We know about different species. We are the human species. Actually, where I was born at, I have a military, I have laws that's governing me, and forget the Indians, no one said the Indians like the quote-unquote black people or African descent, but our grandfathers and grandmothers helped build this country. So, having said that, I have rights, so I can label myself as an American citizen. Now, when it comes to skin color, we're going to distinguish from that because if someone commits a crime, you're going to have to describe a suspect. But when it comes to these laws and rights, just because we don't go from that science aspect, like Mrs. Solution saying, meaning that we're DNA and we're all human species, and we're really not that much similar only by the pigment of our skin, right? And people have an ideology, meaning that their religious beliefs, their cultural beliefs, and they don't go on that. Remember, this science was not back then, Mr. Solution. So all of this corruption from ancient time, this is what a divide of races. Now that we have the science and the fact, we can clearly see it. Until that revolution and everyone comes clear and get all these biases out, we're going to have to distinguish between, like you say, I don't know what you're talking about, BZ. When you take anybody through our job application for affirmative actions laws, you're going to have to select which one are you going to be doing. Now, if you don't select which one you are, there's certain group of individual and ethnic groups who are going to keep out on certain businesses for diversity.
I'm going to let you finish. I've never filled out an application, any type of job application, where they ask me my race. Never.
Okay, well, here on the East Coast they do. Here on the East Coast they do, and it's because of the equal opportunity laws and, federal laws. And the reason why we have these laws, unfortunately, is because the mentality of people mind, and I'm tired of people saying, you know what, you can do everything, but then on another hand, they saying, oh, people holding us back. But I want to say, hold up, Mr. Talk. When you say black, though, and we dignify the group, what are you talking about when you talk about black community and black issues if you're not saying black? Mr. Solution said he doesn't identify himself as black, but he wants me to read a book about black economics and black group empowerment. It's a contradiction. How are you labeling yourself when you talk about, let's talk about the black community or black relationship? It's a contradiction.
Well, first of all, if I may speak, it's not a contradiction. Because anyone can
it
read
is.
That. The principle, wait, let me finish my point. The principle of financial success will work for anyone. Dr. Anderson will tell you, and I just happen to like his book, but he'll tell you more than just people who identify themselves as black buy his book and prosper from it. But they are the same. He talks about the uniqueness of the so-called black experience in America. Now, with respect to filling out a job application, that is a clandestine form of reparations, or at least the way the power structure attempts to institute reparations. And they're trying to create diversity because historically they didn't do it. So, it's all a game, and if you can understand that, you'll understand that you are more a victim of the game than you are a victor in the game.
Now, can I speak? I have a question. Why do you hear people say, if you're not black when you gain money? I'm not understanding. If you were black before you got the money, you're still black after you get it.
Well, what about Oprah Winfrey? When she went to that, hold on, why would Oprah Winfrey get turned down because, now she's a billionaire, for buying a purse because the lady behind the counter did not think that she could afford it?
Oh, no, they wouldn't open the door. They wouldn't
You're
open
talking
the door.
About
stop
one
this
is the fact. Hold on, she's a billionaire. She's the richest business woman of quote-unquote color, however you want to describe it, in the world.
What's your point? What is your point?
Is your point is the reason that this country was a black woman
named
she met P.J. Walker and she kept this country from going out?
She still got prejudged. That's the point. She got prejudged. And you cannot say that. Listen, you just talked to the Klan the other day, prejudgments.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not racism. You have a right to prejudge or be prejudiced or bias or discriminate. In fact, I suggest people do that.
Listen. What this
but that's not the same as holding the law.
When I prejudge, listen, Mr. Talk, when we prejudge, you don't do that. We don't do that. We get to know somebody first. You don't prejudge. We can't do it.
You can't deny a person the right to be a bigot. They have that option.
No. Okay. Okay, so you're letting me know that's the problem of the world then. Okay, fine.
We're talking about America.
We don't have to, unless you got dual citizenship, you are part of this country. We don't have that right here.
But this is the thing, Maze. You're going by a script that's already written for your nun.
You're going by a script that's been written, and you still left the hand out of it.
You be quiet a minute and let a question be asked you. Okay, now, what is black in America, Maze?
Hold up. Let me open up my cup. Okay. Go ahead, Maze. Answer the question.
It's what they describe you as when they pull you up. And when you commit a crime, or when you go to purchase a house, or whatever you get ready to do, and they determine, look at the census. You're either black, Negro, or you're... Let me finish. You're either black, you're a Negro, or either you are colored. One of the three, whichever one they put on your birth certificate, that's what you are determined as being.
Okay, well, have you finished?
You won't say which one you are, because
okay. All that was part of the game to control people. Now that people have the liberty to change those abusive laws, they can do so. You're following the very script that the racist and the supremacist created to disenfranchise you.
I'm going to say something controversial.
You didn't let him finish, Mike. You're cutting him off. You don't like when people cut you off, with all respect.
But I want him to describe himself to us so we can...
Maze, let him finish. Let him
finish, thank you. What you guys are doing is buying into the historical misinformation that was designed to disenfranchise you. And what I encourage Eric to do is to have an open and honest and transparent conversation about this so that people who want to learn and expand their horizon in this area can do so. Many of you have accepted and indoctrinated a victim mentality. You need to get away from that.
Did Emmett Till have a victim mentality?
Did
Medgar Evers have a victim mentality?
You don't hear me talking, Mr. Beasley? Now, I want to interject again. This is out of Black's Law Dictionary. National, pertaining or relating to a nation as a whole. Commonly applied in American law to institutions, laws, or affairs of the United States or its government, comma, as opposed to those of the several states. Term contemplates an activity with a nationwide scope. Term as used in the phrase national in quotes of the United States, quotes, is broader than the term citizen. Now, if you call yourself a citizen, if you call yourself a citizen of the United States, you don't have any standing in the law. And those people that were born in the states, yes, that's in the law. I didn't make it up, okay? If you don't understand it, sorry.
No, I want to listen to what you just read. I want to listen to what you just read. What that says that when you say national...
There are two types of citizenship. Now, you don't have to like it because the law don't give a shit about how you feel about how you look or how anybody else thinks you look. This is about national status and standing in the law. And all this emotional crap y'all want to throw around about how much money you got and who moved in this neighborhood and who don't like, it don't have nothing to do with it. It's about the law and your standing in the law.
Well, and Gonya, may I address what you just said?
Please do.
Yeah, what you said is true, but you have to understand the practical application
Excuse
of that.
Excuse me, Mr. Solution. I don't appreciate the way you talk when you talk like that. I don't have to understand anything. I just read you the definition between national and citizen out of Black's Law Dictionary. It's not about what I think. It's not my opinion. That's in
you
the Black's
Law. You just said
you
were going to let me speak. All of this is
I
open.
Am going to let you speak when you stop talking down to everybody. It's disgusting to me.
Well, yes, okay. You're saying it's disgusting also. But look here, what I'm saying is that the law, we are a nation of laws. The laws control us in every aspect. So this thing that you talk about, oftentimes you can't build a community without money. You're going to use those dirty Federal Reserve notes when you finish with this show. You're using them now. So instead of denying the reality of the importance of money,
you're
I would say...
See, what you're doing right now is called a fallacy, and you like to play that game all the time. You come and you change the topic. I just read you a definition out of Black's Law Dictionary. It didn't say anything about Federal Reserve notes, and it didn't say anything about all that crap you're talking right now. Why don't you address what I just read out of Black's Law Dictionary and stay on the topic?
Well,
hello.
It's wretched, and you know it's wretched, and you don't know what to do about it.
Listen.
You don't have any ideas as to how to improve situations. You're just totally...
We're talking about the definition of Black people versus people of African descent versus African Americans, so forth and so on. I'm making a specific point of fact out of Black Law Dictionary, and you need to stop trying to play me because I'm not going to play.
I'm familiar with Black's Law Dictionary. If you had the money to hire an attorney, which
you
don't...
Want to,
you could get that rectified. If you had the money to hire an attorney, you could get that rectified.
First of all, attorneys come under the 1789 law under Congress, okay? They don't work for us. They work for the corporation.
Well, how do you suggest fixing the problem?
I never suggested I had any answer. I read a definition for you out of Black's Law Dictionary, and you want to jump all over the mountain because you don't want to deal with the issue.
How do you suggest fixing the problem?
Whether you like what I say or not. I read a definition of national and citizen out of Black's Law Dictionary.
Do you suggest fixing the problem?
I don't have any suggestion. I'm trying to tell you y'all are arguing the wrong point. Until you understand what the problem is, there is no solution to fix it. So you can run around talking about all your solutions you want to, but you don't know what the problem is. There is no solution until you understand what the problem is. And it doesn't have anything to do about how you feel. It doesn't have anything to do about how you can talk. It doesn't have anything to do about your education. You don't understand the problem.
Sweetheart, I don't have the problem. You do.
May I address the definition head on? When I read that, this is my comprehension. That when you give the definition of national, it's a general. Remember, in statistics, you never can separate the specific from the general. The national means a general term. Like the National Guard means it's a guard, right? But it covers the whole area of our borders, right? Our citizens. When they say a citizen, it means a citizen is a more specific person. National means, right, the federal government is a broader scope for everybody. But
so
means the
not,
federal government is on a more national government. That's all that's
Michael,
what it's saying. You read into words. Well, when you read that to me, that's my comprehension of it. And you can't say when you read me those words, I can't get that comprehension of it. It's broad. Keyword broad.
Really
national
it,
means broad. No, it's a fact. What does broad mean? Broad means national. National means a group, many group of people. It's a broad term.
No,
citizen means specific term. That is. It's, citizen is specific, bro. I'm not saying citizen. She said citizen. I'm not saying citizen.
And Danya just made a very powerful statement. She said she didn't have the answers, and that's the problem. All she does is just recapitulate and repeat the problem. She doesn't have the answer. And let me say this. I have the answer for me. Many people have the answers. It's just the people who don't have the answers are too prideful to listen to the people that do.
Mr. Solutions, you don't have the answer either because you don't understand the problem. And I'm honest enough to say I don't have an answer.
But listen. Human beings,
can you define that definition? Let him address the question. Okay, I'm sorry.
You have misunderstood the statement that I read out of Black's Law Dictionary. They're telling you there is two different statuses of citizenship. One is citizen. The other is national. It doesn't include everyone like you're saying, Michael. So that's all I want to correct
you. Can I speak about the first national law that was done in 1790? Congress declared the United States a white nation in 1790, the first national law that was put on the books.
And it was in the Articles of Confederation also. It specified who was a national. There's a difference.
But we know that's a lie, though, right?
And it has to do with standing in the law.
Is it their country factually? Is it their country? They can't say it because that ain't got nothing to do with
what you're talking about.
It does. That's how we move forward. That's a part of the solution.
No, no.
It's not theirs.
You're talking in circles, and you know you're taking her off track. What she said made a whole lot of sense, and just like Rick Solutions, Mr. Solutions, he doing the same thing as you were doing.
What is the solution to what she said? What is the answer to what she said?
Hello, can I tell you about the black hole, too?
No, she never addressed the definition. I'm addressing the definition. And guess what? We had a black hole. We got two different interpretations of what we read. We just like the Supreme Court judge, they do it all the time.
Michael, do you understand the solution to what she read?
Here's your solution. Build it for yourself and stop trying to be a part of this BS. Go ahead and do like the Jews do. Jews got dual citizenship. They benefit off what's going on in this country. Black folks should do the same thing.
That's what I just said. Oh, okay. Yes, you said that so well, Chef Rob.
Yeah, quit, man. Stop. Stop. Just quit that. You can't pull that shit with me. Stop.
Sir, right, you said that so perfectly. I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on for a minute. Listen, y'all, okay? The conversation is great. You know, I'm loving it. But all this yelling and screaming has got to go, all right? Got to go. We can have this conversation on an even level. I know we're passionate about it, but come on.
No, we're all adults here.
This is passion on steroids.
This is that good shit. You see, I'm not even talking.
Eric, you have to send our volume over the air. That's not possible.
Can I talk about the Southern Black Code that they had in 1883?
Yeah, go ahead, Maze.
And they gave the blacks the right to have the whole public office and to vote.
Okay. And then?
So they even had a black code.
Mm.
Right. So since Mr. Solution
read Claude Anderson's book, he should go and find the things that I'm talking about because it came straight out of his book.
Because that's
in his own writing.
And I've spoken
to him
words,
and talked to him,
right,
too.
He keeps on using the phrase black people, black people, black people. And this is Black History Month. Why would anybody make a statement Black History Month when we should never identify as Black History? Or as a black person, are we? That's a contradiction.
That doesn't have anything to do with your status in the law, Michael.
No. Why are we saying and calling a group of people black people, identifying people black people, but then we say never identify yourself as black, like Mr. Solution says?
If I may answer that.
I'm just saying it's a contradiction because
you,
how can you tell me to read his book? No,
it's not you.
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. Why should we? Well, I'm getting some kind of feedback.
Somebody's phone.
Not mine. I don't know. But you, okay, Michael. Would you repeat your question?
Okay, and this goes for everybody, especially Mr. Solution. Why should we say, quote unquote, Black History Month, black community, and read Dr. Claude Anderson's book when he keep on using the word black people, group economics, when some people say we should never identify ourselves as black?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps Claude Anderson is using that because perhaps Mr. Claude Anderson is using that term in his book because of his audience, and he knows the level of understanding his audience has. So that's why he's perhaps that's why he's using that term. But the term.
Okay, so
go ahead.
So when someone says have a show about black community or why black people like this, we shouldn't have that. We shouldn't have no diversity like that. How are we going to label ourselves? How are we going to label that group?
Okay,
what should
let
we label ourselves as a group or if
let me ask you a question. First of all, you or no one else has a right to tell any other human being how to identify themselves. Do you know when people come here from other countries, it takes them 5 years and they have to swear an oath to the United States at immigration to become a U.S. citizen? A government cannot impose its national identity on people, which is what they did to us after Reconstruction, okay? That's the problem. Everyone swears an oath to their nation because they have duties and responsibilities to that nation, and a loyalty is expected of them to that nation. And that's why, in order to become a United States citizen, the people who come here from other countries have to relinquish their loyalty to their home nation to be a full-fledged citizen of the United States. Now, yes, there are some small groups of people here, like the Jewish people who have dual citizenship, and we were offered dual citizenship in Africa at one time. Of course, it didn't go all the way through their parliament. It's still laying in parliament right now in the nation of Ghana.
No, not true.
Jerry J. Rawlins was the flight lieutenant. Jerry J. Rawlins was the president, and Bill Clinton was the president. They did a press conference and said we could have dual citizenship. Jerry J. Rawlins passed it in his parliament, and it's still laying there today. And you know what we got? We got right to abode. You have to stay in Ghana for 7 years, and then you're not a citizen, and you can't vote. But the people that have become citizens in the United States who were born in Ghana got dual citizenship, and they can vote in their home country.
Right, you're right about that. But look here, you're using an identity, and this is kind of a peculiar thing. You're using an identity. You're using a false identity to unidentify yourself. In other words, to give you the freedom to identify yourself according to your choosing.
But then you identify yourself with a nation of Ghana. I guarantee you, when I go to that country, that country in Africa is going to have certain procedures that I'm going to have to follow. It ain't
just
going
to give
up
your citizenship to this country. You have to do things too.
In Liberia, under its Article 4, it doesn't matter. You can automatically be a citizen. You're automatically considered a citizen in Liberia. So and I can't remember the other countries, but
I'd rather be dual citizenship in Switzerland, but that's me.
Senegal, you don't have to have a passport to go in Senegal. And in Ghana, they have given 30,000 acres of land to anyone in the diaspora who wants to claim it. Now, I want to hear what Mrs. Lelouchins was trying to say to me when everybody was talking at the same time. I want to address what he was saying. I want to revisit that if Mr. Solutions would like to. If not, that's fine. He said I was doing something. I was identifying something. I couldn't hear what he was saying because too many people were talking.
Well, maybe it's Pat, but I agree with you on your last point where you said that people have the right to self-identify. I agree with you. I concur with you completely on that point. And so, but what Michael said was a bit confusing. And so to unconfuse that, is now people have the right to unidentify themselves according to the abusive and misidentifier.
That's called expatriation. That's what that's called. And we've always had that right. It's called expatriation because, you see, no nation can impose its nationality. You always have a right to expatriate yourself and then leave if that's what you choose to do.
Yeah, to expatriate. But see, what you said, though, is correct in that people were abusively identified to steal their wealth and labor. It was a huge game, but it was a game. but it was a real-life monopoly game to steal the wealth of people, because if they could identify you, they would take your legal rights as a citizen. And by the way, you still have a legal claim.
Mr. Solutions, he's the one who's confused. You don't have any legal rights as a citizen. You have benefits and duties. That's the law.
Well, but see, the point is, Ngonya, at some point you're going to have to identify the real situation and how to rectify it. 75% of so-called black Americans are at or below the poverty level. And over 50%, there's an over 50% unemployment rate. So the area in which you're most impacted is economically. Your wealth has been stolen and misappropriated and
You can only do something about that when you understand that you have to make a decision as to how you want to identify yourself in this nation. You do not have rights as a citizen. You have benefits and duties.
Okay, well, Antonio, before you go on, spell it out how it should be done. I'm a person about solutions, not just for...
I'm just about finished. Thank you very much. If you want to be a free person who makes the choice to identify yourself with a nation of your choosing, you have a right to do that.
Yeah, you keep muting, and sometimes I think you should mute yourself. But how do you rectify the high unemployment problem and the economic problem? How should that be addressed, if you know?
The issue and talk a whole bunch of junk that doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. That's what you do. That's a fallacy. You use
answer my
time.
Question. How do you suggest the economic problem be addressed?
You don't want to understand the cause of the problem because you have arrogated yourself to have all the solutions. But you
You can state it all. You can state the problem and the solution. I'm listening.
You cannot
take
effective action to solve a problem if you don't understand what the problem is, Mr. Solutions.
Help us understand it and stop just talking about it. Help us understand it if you know.
I have tried to do that, but according to you, you have all the answers and all the solutions. I have
You're flip-flopping and waffling.
You don't address the issue that I read out of Black's Law Dictionary. And you done been all around the mountain talking about poverty and this and that and the other, but you don't want to deal with the cause of the problem.
I haven't heard it.
Yes, you have. I read it to you out of Black's Law Dictionary. You call yourself a citizen, and you think you have rights as a citizen, but you have benefits and privileges and duties.
Okay,
you're saying
people are not a citizen. How should that be rectified?
I said there's two classifications. There's national and citizen. The U.S. citizen, U.S. is a corporation. Now, you can call that conspiracy theory. You can call it whatever. You can say I talk about Federal Reserve notes, this, that, the other. I'm telling you what's in Black's Law Dictionary.
So how should the problem be rectified is what I'm trying to hear from you.
Dr.
Time. I have never said I have any solutions. I understand the cause of the problem.
But you don't understand the solution.
Tell me.
There are several solutions. Okay, a whole bunch of solutions out here. And Dr. Claude Anderson has a beautiful one. And so that's one thing I've been modeling my foundation behind is that solution that Dr. Claude Anderson has. So you got.
And Ngonya should read Dr. Claude Anderson's book. Have you done that, Ngonya?
Stay off the system. My question to you is, do you disagree or agree with Dr. Claude Anderson?
No, he doesn't.
Just promoted Dr. Anderson's book. I agree with what he's saying about 110%.
Why are you attacking that sister instead of going ahead and pushing the ideas in that book?
What I'm saying to Ngonya, she should read the book. She's stuck in Black's Law Dictionary. She should read Dr. Anderson's book, and you should have the guts to do it.
Let me address this. You know, Mr. Solutions, I don't think you want any solutions. I think you just like to hear yourself talk. Because
you have
the
solution, Ngonya. You don't know what you're talking about. Have you read Dr.
do is point the finger at other people, tell them how ignorant they are. You call women out of their name, and you talk to people like they're ignorant, and nobody knows anything but you. I
okay,
only
on.
Share
hold
information.
Amen. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, co-host. Hold on. All right. Now, I've been sitting back here listening quite a while, and wow, y'all just done took it to a whole new level. Now, let me ask a question. Let me ask a question, all right? Now, I keep hearing about what is the solution, what is the solution. Well, Seth Robb came on and said he has a couple, and Claude Anderson has a good one, but he never said exactly what it was. So, Chef Robb, would you like to share what that solution is?
He didn't get a chance to. Mr. Solution, call him ignorant.
Yes.
One of the things from Dr. Claude Anderson's teaching is he puts it out there. Hey, look, black people consume most of the fish in America and pretty much around the globe. So why not go ahead and go into fish farming? I'm taking it one step further, and I'm not just going into fish farming. I'm going to doing what they call aqua farming. Well, I'm also going ahead growing fish, and I'm also going ahead and doing plants and vegetation. Now, another brother named Will Allen is up here in Milwaukee. I visited his farms, and I'm going ahead and trying to do the same thing down here in Chicago. There is not one solid solution. This is just a variety. It's taking a whole lot of stuff for us to get into this situation, so it's going to take a whole lot of different things to go ahead and get us out of this situation. There is not one damn solution. So we need to go ahead and jump on one thing and see works, because all the other stuff up until this point ain't worked. You just recently had that march, that commencement, those commencement speeches and all that celebrations over in Washington, 50 years of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech and all the other stuff, but they're still talking about the same thing back then that they're talking about now, and that's jobs. We need to get that out of our heads, throw that stuff out about jobs, and just go ahead and create entrepreneurs and create businesses and a whole new industry.
Okay. See, I can agree with that. I cannot agree with that. That's so simple. It is simple, but it's hard work, but it's simple. But that's just me. Anybody
hey,
else?
Eric?
Yeah.
But he never – he always talk about Dr. Claude Anderson, but he never talk about nothing that's in the book. I just quoted stuff that was in the book to him.
Well, can I say something about that? I have no problem with that, but see – as we speak, like y'all talk about GMOs, fish farming, some people are trying to get away from that. I understand that because, see, one thing, we're stuck in a rock and a hard place on, as I say, quote-unquote, America's because of cheap labor. We can't manufacture nothing because of cheap labor, factually. And the people that who do manufacture in America, they're Caucasian companies.
Michael.
I see, if I manufacture something and I start a quote on and empower people in my community, I can't pay them $7.50 an hour manufacturing something. I got to pay them $27
an hour. My suggestion is that everybody actually
immigration and cheap labor are cutting us because we should not ever work for cheap labor ever again. Our grandfathers and grandfathers already did.
Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you think it would be a good idea for everyone to read Claude Anderson's book, Powernomics?
Sure, exactly. Couldn't hurt to read a book.
And even if you don't read the book, go ahead, you can still look at the videos. I mean, all of that stuff is still online.
So I have listened to his old videos. What are you talking about? And I know when I talk with Mr. Lucian, and he said don't identify.
Hold on. All right, now, I want to address something that Michael said. And, yes, I do recommend people read Powernomics. I have the book, and I've read it. Michael, now, you go into this thing about, you know, low wage, working for low wage, but if you're growing your own, okay, and everybody in the neighborhood is growing your own, you have to get out there and work the thing yourself. See, and that's what we forget. Our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, they worked their own land. They grew their own, they worked their own. Now, if you do that, you'd be surprised at what comes to you. See what I'm saying? Because you have the product, and they want the product.
Let me ask Eric this question. To nail things down, Eric, because I know a lot of people flip-flop and waffle, why don't you do a show specifically on Dr. Anderson's book, Powernomics?
Eric, why don't you just try to get Claude Anderson to come to your show and talk?
Oh, it's
going to
be he'll do it, but it's going to be a little while.
Well, when he gets to the point where he says black people need to come together, what are you going to say about identifying somebody's self? See, you're going to contradict yourself how you read the book when you talk about how you do yourself as a black person. What does he mean?
Michael, that's a stupid point. You should stop repeating.
You always calling people names.
He's grouping. It's not. You know what I'm saying. You said he's talking about a particular group that should identify themselves as quote-unquote black people that need to be stop spinning in certain areas, and then y'all say, oh, you're not black. You contradict yourself. How can I read the book? I get the whole concept.
Economics is a social behavior.
But he's identifying a group of people, and he's saying agree.
All right, because everybody cannot talk at one time. Please. Now, Michael, what you're saying right now doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You know, if you're going to reach someone, you got to reach them the way they are identified, okay? I mean, it does no good to write a book and keep saying white folk when you're trying to reach people who classify themselves as being black. It's just that simple. So come on, get off of that. As you say, that's
Eric,
crazy.
Can I make this statement? I think you muted. I don't know if you just muted me or whom.
No, go ahead.
Michael,
are you muted?
Is my mic open?
Yes, it is.
It's closed.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you do a show on Claude Anderson's book, that way you'll deal with specificity and not just philosophy and this sort of thing. But everything is regarding ideas. It's people's ideas. Mm. And you're right about what you just said, but you have to use the nomenclature, even the abusive nomenclature, to correct the problem. Now, there are a lot of people that don't identify themselves as black. That's okay. That doesn't mean they're not willing to help you. And if you're stuck on that idea of just black, look at what you have. You don't have very much.
Got a point there.
Here we go.
Look at what Malcolm X was saying, man. Come on now. Let's not do that. That's wrong.
What was Malcolm X saying that applies to this?
One of the things that Malcolm X was pushing, and hey, look, even Elijah Muhammad, is the best way for us to go ahead and deal with anything that's happening in the world is for us to deal with ourselves.
You want to know something, Chef Ron, with all due respect? That's kind of bullshit, because I'm open to do business with anybody. I wouldn't give a fuck what your ethnicity is.
I think you missed my point, Mr. Beasley. Okay, you missed my point. You need to go ahead and learn yourself first before you deal with anybody else.
I understand myself, because I don't subscribe to those narrow ideas of doing business, and I'm not trying to save anybody but myself, okay?
I'm not under
any illusion that I have the power to, and I don't sit here, you know, I look at the difficulties and the problems facing black people, and it troubles me, but I know that the best thing that I can do is to not be suffering and struggling myself. But go ahead and say what you're going to say. But please don't think because I say the things that I say that I'm not familiar with the works and the things that Elijah Muhammad said and the things that Malcolm X said and Master Farrar Muhammad. Please don't marginalize me and think that I'm unaware, because I am, and I have read. Okay?
I'm still waiting for the answer to my question.
What had to say.
You're not black.
What is his question?
After you get money, you're not black anymore. I'm not understanding.
I'm breaking my rule, but this is the point, and you have to open your... Is my mic open, first of all?
Yes, it is.
You don't have sense enough to know it's open. No, it's not.
Mays, and I'm pronouncing your name correctly. I thought it was May, but I asked Eric
for the
spelling.
Right,
Mays, what you have to understand is you were given an abusive title by someone who attempted to exploit people or exploit people who could be identified such as you. And they made all these elaborate lies that you are a separate race, and they still promote that bullshit. But that Jarrett Taylor is an agent of that confusion. But he's a nincompoop. He's a white guy, a racist asshole. But the thing of it is, he debated Tim Weiss, and Tim Weiss mopped the floor with him.
I'm talking about the first article that was written for this country.
So listen,
you
just listen a minute. Just listen a minute. The term that was given you, you need to escape that because that was meant to disempower and disenfranchise you. And
that does not disempower me and disenfranchise me and stop me from doing
that.
Listen a minute.
You can't make people identify with you if they don't want to.
You can't do that, nor should you. That's what you try to do.
No, I tell people the truth historically,
no,
and then I let them make
their
own
decision. You tell them what your truth is. That's what you try to tell people. But you
no one can have a conversation with you because you don't know how to listen.
Nobody knows how to listen to you.
Oh, that's an intelligent response?
Oh, man. All right, y'all. Well, you know what? We're going to leave it right there today. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's 4:26 our time. And I definitely want y'all to get your last words in. This boy, I tell you, what a conversation. I don't know if y'all learned anything, but I know I did. What to do and what not to do, that's for sure. So we're going to start off. Let's see. Mr. Beasley been mighty quiet, so let me get him his last words. Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
I've been quiet because you know I can't stay quiet because I've been muted. No, it's an amazing conversation. As so-called black folks that we're here, everybody has different views. You know, when I hear people outside of our community, so to speak, speak in terms of black people this and black people that, they must not ever listen to us talk because we've got 10 people on the line and we've probably got about 10, we've got 10 different opinions on some things. It's refreshing. It's good. I enjoy the conversation. That's all. Everybody have a nice weekend.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Beasley. You also. All right. Next up is Mr. Solution.
Yes, Eric, I say get Debbie Daly's ass on the line. And you all have a conversation about this. I've said to Debbie, in fact, I just sent her just a short email that, she claims not to be a racist, but she certainly provides a refuge and safe harbor for those loser racist types. And the guy who called me a nigger, Goofy Bone, did a show on that guy, and it turns out that he has a grandson that is of African descent. And so we see a lot of people are angry about meaningless things. And to use that kind of word, although it doesn't bother me, I could care less, but to use that word around a young child, and I'm sure he has, could be considered emotional abuse. But Debbie, this is Debbie's friend. Race is a big issue. I brought this to Debbie's attention. And I think a lot of people who identify as blacks are afraid to have this kind of open and transparent dialogue. So get her ass on the line and have a conversation. Get Mr. Midnight Movie or what we call 3M, because he's a bloviating wannabe racist and a loser in real life. And get many of those on the show and have a dialogue. And I'll just listen. I don't even have to call in. I'll just listen, laugh, and sip on a glass of red wine. But good show. I think this has been a very interesting show. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Solution. Hey, you have a wonderful weekend. All right. Miss Mays, you're up.
Yes, to listen to Solution talk. Now, he won't get upset by somebody. He's going to get upset by somebody calling him black, but he won't get upset by somebody calling him the other word. I don't understand that. And I still don't understand. You got to, if you get money, you're not black anymore. I'm not understanding that either. And he always talk about Clark Anderson, but he don't follow Clark Anderson's way of doing things because he hasn't purchased nothing from him since he's been talking about him, I guarantee you. So I'm colored, and it won't be colored the day I was born, and it won't be colored the day that I die, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'll have a good one, and it was Freedom Friday.
Yes, it was. All right, Mace, have a good one. All right, here we go. Mr. Chef Rob.
Hey, brother.
What's up, man?
Hey, look, man, you know, it's there are a bunch of
solutions to this issue. But, you know, just mine is just one of the ways that I'm trying to do things. You can go here and take a 5-acre farm and you can feed thousands and also employ hundreds. So that's been our problems is economics, how to deal with the financial disparity, how to deal with the financial gaps and wealth, the disparity in wealth. So we need to go ahead and pay attention to a little bit of the history, which I'm big on history, a little bit of history, but go ahead and focus in on how to move forward and how to get past what's going on now. And cannot go ahead and overlook what's going on in the news or how they're still treating us. We need to go ahead and make that as our main focus on how to go ahead and move forward. Dr. Claude Anderson has good ways of doing things. John Henry Clark, I love going ahead and quoting a lot of things from him. There are other individuals out here, Omar Johnson. There are a bunch of people out here who have thoughts and views on how to do it, but we need to go ahead and do it as a group and pull our resources in together. And shooting each other down, it ain't helping. You need to go ahead and leave your ego at the door and then go ahead and come and sit at the table, because we all, at the end of the day, you peel off all your layers, you're still black or whatever, black or African underneath. So get together and let's do some stuff, because that's the only way we're going to get out of it. Because like I was saying, if the cops pull you over, if the store security go ahead and follow you around, they're following you around. One reason, that's because you're black. Check out my page. Like me. If you don't, whatever to you. But I'm working on this situation. Thank you. It's my piece.
All right, Rob. You have a good weekend, man. All right, last but not least, Mr. Michael. Michael?
Can you hear me? Yes. Well, very good show. Very good, interesting show. Well, first, Mr. Solution, you can email the RFX show, and I'll try to loop it, because he brings up her again, and it's an amazing topic. You can have on your show, but I just want to say something. That proves a very good point. And if we don't learn from this conversation today and what he's going through, because I heard her last night, and it's really turning up the notch, exposing themselves. And you keep people saying that we can't consider ourselves a certain race or color. Now, I've always told when I have my product, it's going to serve not just black people, but for all. I know about economics. But I want y'all to listen to yourself, and you're telling me, like Rob just said, we have to come together. If you come together, you're going to have to identify yourself, the people that you're coming together with. Mr. Solution, like May said, is a total contradiction, and whoever says it, I'll say again. You say when you read something and you're talking about that book, it's about group economics. Factually, that's the main idea. And every time he gets his lecture, he talks how a Pacific group doing. How can he identify a Pacific group by labeling them? How is he labeling them? He's using the word blackness. So when you think about what you're talking about, it's a contradiction. I understand overall business, but his concept of that book is pulling a particular ethnic group together, because he can actually see it, his concepts, that we're losing ground. Look at all the past stories that he's getting from history to slaves. He's talking about us, and then you're going to talk about, don't identify yourself. I'm just saying, you're starting off with a contradiction. That's all I want to say, Mr. Tuck. Y'all have a nice weekend.
All right, you too, Michael. See you Monday. All right. Now, I'm telling you, that was a hot topic right there. That was a very hot topic. Wow. And Michael kind of right. We have to learn something from this conversation. We really do. Co-host, where you at? I know you got something to add to it.
I'm here. Only thing I have to say is
co-host, sir. Okay.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you
now.
Hear me? Oh, okay.
Yes, I
Only
can.
Only thing I have to say is I apologize to you for losing my temper. I came in with love in my heart, but it didn't take long for my fingernails to grow longer.
Okay.
But the main thing is that we have discussions like this, I guess, but, you know, it helps a lot when people will open their minds to other information besides that which they're so sure they already know that they might not know. Now, I don't claim to know everything. And I don't claim to have any answers or solutions for anybody. And I always say, don't follow me, because I know just enough that you'll have an orange jumpsuit waiting on you if you follow me, okay? But there are certain things that we have to understand about our national status, our so-called citizenship status. There are two different things. It's confusing. And there are certain concepts that we have been taught all our life that causes the confusion. So perhaps if we can settle down long enough to admit that we don't know everything, and maybe we can learn something we didn't know, and maybe we can find some solutions. I'm definitely for solutions. But we went running down the road in the civil rights movement, marching for something we didn't even know what it was. So again, Mr. Talk, I'm sorry that I lost my temper. And everybody, good night, and I apologize to the audience too.
All right, before you get out of here, tell them how you can reach them. How they can reach you in case they want to send you anything, any comments.
My email is ngonea@yahoo.com, and I'd like to thank those that have contacted me, and I replied, and I'd be happy to reply to anyone that wants to correspond. Please put Mr. Talk on the subject line so I'll know to respond right away.
All right. There you go. You have a great weekend, my host. All right, once again, that email is ngonea@yahoo.com. All right, well, we're about to get up out of here. And, you know, listening to the conversation, it's interesting, but because there are so many different views of what needs to be done. But whether it's farming, getting jobs, whatever, if we continue to be placed in that box, you know, to where we classified as one color or anything like that, then we're defeating ourselves before we even get started. I know some of y'all may say, well, that don't make no sense, you know, but it's just crazy. It is. You know, my co-host say it's about law, not views. It's about laws. And that's the point. You know, laws are set up to keep you in a box. Well, eventually we need to come out of that box. You know, begin to make our own law to where we're not included in just the box. Because, you know, eventually boxes get old and they start leaking anyway, right? So are we going to let them put us in another box with the laws? Or are we going to come out the box and make our own laws and make some things happen? That's all. You know, it's just one of those things, I guess. All right, next week, y'all, is Relationship Week. So all the shows next week going to be dealing with relationships. So by chance, you got anything you want to hear us talk about, you can send it to ericlesstalk@gmail.com, or you can send it to my co-host also. Okay, ngonea@yahoo.com. And you can stop by the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at Facebook.com. All right, so that is it for us, man. I want to thank everybody who stayed a little later than normal to listen to the show. You know, hey, that's how we do it on Freedom Friday. And I'm telling you. We all family, okay? We all family. So we may fuss and scream at each other, but in the end, you know, we all family. That's for sure. All right. Well, thank you, Corn Dog. All right, y'all. We're going to get up out of here now. And we did it to Monday. Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time. Y'all have a good one, man. Love y'all. Enjoy your weekend. We're going to take y'all out of here with the Friday Music Mix. Bye.
Chapter.